Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
I'm Chris Cody, Vice President of the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Today's topic is titled Listening, a Leader's Tool for Showing Value to People. Now, Perry, when I saw the title of this topic, I thought, well, I don't need to be here today, right? As a leader.
That's so funny. I wrote it for you.
Yeah, that's right. As a leader, we all think we're better than we are.
That's true.
So hang with us. I showed up today. I'm going to learn something. We're going to kind of give some thoughts to this additional tool that you need to make sure you're continuing to work on. So Perry, let's talk about this. Tell me, how do you see listening as a tool?
And I will say, I think that everybody should pull over and be listening to this with a pen and paper.
That's
because
right.
Because we all need help. Although I think we've actually given some examples in our life. We see a nugget here or there, somebody that demonstrates this in a really great way. So hats off to them. But for the majority of us, this is a challenge because of the busy world we're in. I say tool because it's really something I think is in your toolkit that if you correctly use this tool, it will take leading to the next level, employee engagement to the next level, employee retention to the next level. It's an area I personally, and as you've already confessed, we both have to work on, because if you're married more than an hour, you know that my wife pointed this out, you're not listening, and she made me aware of that. But then I took it to work and started looking, you know, I think I do the same thing with work. So, and I also noticed that the higher I went in the organization, the more success I had, the more of a problem it was.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how you've seen that.
Well, I think my wife would agree with your wife. And have a huge amen to that. I was just kind of thinking about something when you mentioned that. Not only is this a skill that we need to work on and develop to use in our organization and with our people, then I challenge you to use it at home and in your personal life as well, because I have had conversations where they've gone something like this. You would not have watch the TV while someone was talking to you if they were in your office or if you were with a client, so can you listen to me? So I say that just to say, hey, being vulnerable with you, like what we do every day as leaders inside our organization, we should be doing, if not and then some, at home. And I get lazy.
What a great example.
And I'm like, you know what? I may be working on listening here, but I probably should really be working on it at home.
Well, I just had one the other day. I was a weekend cookout, friends over, and the wife of my friend was talking to me, and I just had my cell phone in my hand. And she just said, well, I guess there's something more important on that screen.
Yeah.
Dagger.
That's right.
And but she's exactly right. Why don't I practice it even in the down moments? It seems like a down moment. It's not.
It's a great chance. Yeah. No, it's not at all. So I think my wife would agree there. Coach John Wooden has this great quote. He says, it's very easy to get comfortable in a position of leadership, to believe that you've got all the answers, especially when you begin to enjoy some success. It is so easy to stop listening and learning. And this is a skill that can be developed, and it's something that all of us, no matter if naturally you are a good listener, it's something that we all need to continue to develop and improve. So let's talk about some tips, Perry, about what this looks like to help our audience.
And I think we've kind of hit it a little bit already, so we can move quickly past this. But if you're not a little bit self-aware of your struggle with this, and just admitting it, that I need to practice it, I need to, and then we use the word active listening, we probably can talk a little bit more about what that means, but when my wife said it, you know, my first reaction was to push back, no, I'm listening. Well, you may be listening, but you're not hearing me.
That's right.
Might be the words, and thinking, wow, she really right. She is really right.
Yeah.
And I need to be more attentive, especially in this fast-paced, busy world, just be self-aware that someone is trying to communicate with me, am I giving them the respect due through active listening to them and just being aware of it?
Well, listen, there is no greater way to tell somebody you value them than to be fully engaged
in
a conversation.
Totally agree.
And so we need to be intentional about becoming better listeners. And I think in today's day and age, with everything that we have access to in our hands and with computers and just the fast pace, we have so many distractions. And like I mentioned, I do it at home, whether it's I'm on Twitter, whether I'm on my cell phone, whether I'm watching SportsCenter, whatever it might be, it's on the background. I need to be better at, in the organization, with my team and personally, at being a better listener. I mentioned maybe a couple of podcasts ago, and it's just kind of stuck with me, this gentleman, the CFO for Sewell Enterprises organizations down in Odessa. And it just, the fact that every time somebody walks into his office, he shuts his laptop and then moves his cell phone. I'm like, what do you mean? Then you power your computer down, then you got to power it back up. And what about, right? And he's just fully engaged and people feel so valued and he's an incredible listener. So I think there are some learned behaviors.
I thought about that after you
said
it.
That we're going.
I thought, what? He, nobody even said a word yet and he's communicated enormous.
You're important.
Exactly. Yeah. Without a word being spoken.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Distractions are huge, and obviously I'm sure everybody would agree that you have to, you know, really think about what you're saying. I had a sign on my desk for years. I still have it, actually. It says, be here now. Mm. And if I wish I could probably tattoo it on my palm of my hand so I could see it and say, what's going on? Are you present in the moment? But I actually went so far as in my early leadership life about setting my office up intentionally in a way that when people came in to see me, I couldn't look out the door. I couldn't look out the window. I had my desk to a wall. I had to turn around and face them. And it just was really helping me to I'm a distractaholic, and I want to not be distracted when I'm looking at you, facing you, talking to you. And I kind of, for me, it was a little bit of something I call mastering the pause also was my another tip that I would give would say, I just heard this weekend, when people are talking, are you listening or reloading? And I started thinking about that. I'm reloading. I'm
no
thinking
doubt.
About what I'm going to say next. What if I just mastered the pause? Because I notice when people take a breath, I normally jump in. What if I mastered that pause and just let it rest for a moment? You know what happens almost 100% of the time when you don't start talking? They start talking again. And that helps with customers and sales situation. I'm always wanting to, let me show how smart I am. No, let me just not say anything. Yeah. And then the customer starts talking again. And I've noticed, I don't know if you have, but when the customer's talking, I almost always do better than when I'm talking.
Right. That's right. What do they say in sales? You know, quit talking, pass the close.
Yeah.
Like, you're already there. Like, let them talk and you quit talking. The other thing, you know, when we talk about kind of jumping in on a conversation, as soon as somebody takes a breath, the thing for me here is that when you do that, or let me say it this way, when it's being done to you, what do you think about the people that are listening to you? They're waiting for that pause. They're waiting to jump in. Like they have so much to say.
Or finish my sentence for me.
Yes. I can't stand that when people do that, because what they're telling you is that they're really not just truly listening to you. And then it's like, okay, so I know you were ready to jump in. Did you hear the last 30 seconds of what I said, or were you just waiting for me to go, you know, and they jumped in. And so we have to make sure, to your point, that we slow down, maybe have that pause, and make sure that we're not jumping in. And if we have team members that are jumping in often, help them with some triggers, right, to where they begin to understand that they're not doing a really good job of listening.
Well, it's a great reminder right there is, can you help your teammates? As a leader, I'm looking for those coaching feedback moments. I had a person that was one of these finish my sentences. She was really smart, and her brain's working. I get the numbers, but you can process like 600 words a minute. But me, even from the South, can only speak at a you know, 150, maybe some gusts up to 175.
She's got some processing capacity there.
So she's already way ahead, thinks what I'm going to say and interrupted me. I just brought it out in a conversation, and I thought I'm going to be in trouble. She said, I know I do that. I said, tell you what, I just held up my hand, and while we're talking, I won't say anything. I'll just hold my hand up, and you'll know when you did it. And I thought this is going to go bad somehow. But she thanked me profusely. She says, nobody's ever helped me work through that.
Yeah.
And I thought, you can count on me.
Any
interruption is really a no-no. I actually wrote on the top of my, especially in sales calls, I would write on my notepad, WAIT, why am I talking? Just to remind myself just to speak less, listen more, and really show how we started this podcast is that I'm going to show value to you that I'm listening, that you matter, and what you have to say is important to me.
Yeah.
And one of the things I noticed, I want to get your opinion on this, people taking notes while you're talking.
Yeah.
I guess there's some good and bad to that, but what do you think about that?
So let me ask you this question. You have spoken around the world, speaker for IBM, for us, do a lot of keynotes. when you're speaking and you're working up to certain points and you want to deliver value and you see people like light up on their face and then in their seats start taking notes, what's that do for you?
Oh, it's big.
Oh, it just, yeah, it gives you energy. You feel like, yeah, you're connecting with them.
Yeah, you think that's good. Let me give you something else.
Yeah, like, let me think about something else. And then the next one, maybe they don't necessarily write it down. They start going to sleep. That's another story. But yeah, like, I'm all for it. One of the things I love about John is that a lot of people don't necessarily feel comfortable with John interviewing them around leadership or their journey or their story or how they lead. And one of the greatest things that he always does whenever he's interviewing somebody, especially in front of an audience or even on a phone or a podcast, is he's taking notes. Mm-hmm. And what he does at the end of every interview is say, hey, let me just take a minute and tell you what I learned from you today.
Right, I love that.
And here are three things that I learned from you today. And here's a guy who has been in this space for a long time, and yet he is not only learning and growing and pushing himself to stay engaged and take notes, but then whoever he's interviewing, they walk off going, oh my gosh, I literally just helped John Maxwell with something. It was funny because I was listening to an interview he did with Rachel Hollis the other day.
I was going to say exactly.
Yeah, and she was like, wait a minute, what? Like, you're writing that down, John? Yeah. Like, that made my day. And it just really engaged her. And so I like it. I think it's powerful. As long as you're being authentic about it. One challenge I have that I just want to throw out to you a little bit here is sometimes I do it and I do it on my phone. And I think that's I think that's even different than people sitting with an iPad and writing with a pen on an iPad, right? Because it looks like you're taking notes. When you have your phone, the challenge there is, what am I communicating to you? Because what's the first thing you think about when I'm on my phone?
You're texting someone or doing your email.
So sometimes I'll be like, hey, you don't mind if I take notes on my phone, do you? And I'll say it up front. Other times I don't, but then I become very conscious of it while I'm in the conversation. And I always want them to know that I am taking notes either in Evernote or my notes section on my phone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes maybe it's best not even to do it on your phone, just to make sure that there's no gap there between what your intention is behind taking notes and what maybe their perception is.
No, I get that. One of my... Five Levels coaching clients got his annual review. I said, let's walk through that. What'd you learn? And he said, well, I got dinged for always having my laptop out in a meeting. Mm. I said, well, why is your laptop out? He goes, I take profuse notes. I said, is it about the meeting? It's not your grocery list, right? He goes, no, it's about the meeting. He goes, yeah. I said, so it's good. He goes, yeah, but they think I'm doing email. To your point, if okay, you won't take notes, that's good. So I said, what are you doing about that? He said, I'm going to announce, do you mind if I take some notes on my laptop? Or find another way, write it on paper, then go back and he didn't want to transpose it later. iPads are great, with the pencil is fantastic. That technology is really advanced. So I love that idea, but make sure people know that you're involved. You're be here now. I'm in this, but it may appear that I'm not taking notes.
Yeah,
but I love that taking notes has got a two-edged sword. It's great that you're paying attention to taking notes, but it's bad if I think you're making groceries.
That's right. You know? That's right. That's right.
Another little tip I had was, I learned this again from my wife, not thinking I was listening. I wasn't listening. Let's put it on me. I wasn't really hearing her. Was learning to say, to repeat back to them. I may have gotten this from Stephen Covey. Repeat back to them, mm-hmm, to their satisfaction what you heard them say.
Yeah.
So she would say something, and I say, so what you're saying is this.
Right.
And she'd say, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. Okay, then say it again. But before I respond, and what we normally do is we react to what people say. I want to change that reaction to a response, which is more thoughtful.
Yeah.
There needs to be a gap. Mind the gap between whatever the stimulus was and what your response is. Then how would I bridge that gap? Would say, so Chris, what I hear you saying is this. Is that true? And you go, yeah, it's pretty close. Is it not exact? Tell me again.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, that's what I'm saying. Then I can respond. It raised my level of listening because I know in my own style, I'm going to have to give it back to you to your satisfaction that I heard what you said. Really raised my level of engagement with the team and that they knew he's paying attention, and I got to get this.
I'm totally for that as long as you're doing it authentically, right? Because if people do any type of research or look into active listening skills, that's what everybody's taught to do. So what you said was, so as long as you do it in the most authentic way that you would do it and not just necessarily repeat those words and then say it, although that is communicating it to them, I think there's a way that you can do it authentically. A lot of times what I try to do is, hey, let me tell you something you taught me in that conversation right there. Is this right? And so you just take it from what I heard you say to this is what you taught me, this is what you enlightened me. From your perspective, I learned this today. Is that in alignment with what you're trying to tell me? And so having a conversation around that versus being maybe very robotic about how you come back.
Because
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the people that what you're saying was, and then you repeat it.
Professor.
You know? So, yeah, so do it authentically. And the other thing I wrote down here that I just want to mention, man, make sure that if you're doing a really good job listening, the first response is not to one-up what you just heard.
Right?
I mean, we've talked to how many people.
Top my story.
Top my story.
Stop trying to top my
story. And I'm like, well, you know what? You may be listening to me, and you are, because you just topped my story. But I don't want to talk to you anymore because I don't want to hear about one better or top my story. And so that was the other side of it, too, is just to make sure that when we're listening to people, if you have something that's better or greater or bigger example, if it's not important or detrimental to their relationship or your relationship or their life, just keep it to yourself.
Let it go, yeah.
And show it. Maybe tell it at a different time.
I'm laughing because I had this. There's a family issue that came up like that because I travel a lot globally. And somebody would say, well, let me tell you about the coast of Georgia. We went to the coast this weekend. And I said, coast? Let me tell you about the Riviera in France. That's a coast.
Right.
I'm thinking, was that relevant?
No.
Was that necessary?
Yeah.
Did I make them feel bigger or smaller? Did I help add to their story or take away from it? Did I take the light off of them and put it on me?
There you go.
Dale Carnegie would slap me in the head for that, I'm thinking. Yeah,
that's right.
I've had to really work on that one.
That's right.
Well, great stuff. Why don't you take us home? We'll give our listeners a couple of points, ideas about how to put this listening ideas into practice.
Yeah, I think John has, you know, a great book that I would suggest to anybody that is a leader. And it's called Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. And it's really just the ability, I think, to be a good listener starts with the ability to ask good questions. And that's when you're going to really get people to open up to you. And so really, really kind of think about the questions and then understand the listening part of it and the power of that. I think one of the greatest compliments you could ever receive as a leader is that if someone says these two things to you, they consistently listen. Mm. And I think, because a lot of times we may consistently hear our people, but we don't really consistently listen. And I think if you can be consistent and you can become a great learner of what makes your team and your leaders and your vendors and your customers feel like they are the most important thing to and around you, then I think that'll be success. Three things just quickly to leave you with, kind of an action step that may help you do this that I wrote down. Slow down.
Mm.
Just slow down. I know we're all busy. Remember the example? Shut the laptop. Slow down, be attentive, and relaxed. Stay focused on them. Man, eye contact, you know, matters. We've had conversations with people where, you know, you're talking, or even maybe they're talking, and they're just not even looking at you.
Right,
and you're like, man, are you really engaged here? And then obviously back to the age old seek first to understand.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you do those three things, you'll have a mindset of becoming a better listener.
Yeah, I love those reminders about active listening, eye contact, nodding the head, asking the question, asking for clarification, engaging the speaker, not by topping their story, not by having a one-upping them type of thing, but to really seek to understand what they're speaking about, just draws people to you. It drives up that level of engagement. It creates value inside that person that, man, he seemed like I had something important to say.
Yeah.
You do,
yeah.
And everybody
yeah.
does. So great stuff, Chris. Thanks for the reminder. And just a reminder to you, our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about this topic or about the five levels of leadership, perhaps even bring a five levels workshop to your organization, please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can leave a comment for us there, a question if you have one. As always, we're grateful for you following along. That's it for today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.